Imagine just deciding that you're going to win some international business competition award to help your authority and influence in your field as an entrepreneur. You're just going to do it, right? And then imagine that you actually do win. That's one way to grow your audience as an entrepreneur. And there are many more, so pay attention to this awesome interview. Welcome to the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast. I'm Case Lane, and this is your podcast if you are feeling that it's time to take control of your future and have the lifestyle you really want by starting your own business. In this extended episode interview, I'm having a conversation with Julio Maria Mahoro, Power Coach. Now let's hear his entrepreneurial journey. This is episode 107. Today on the Ready Entrepreneur Podcast, I'm so excited to have Julio Maria Mahoro. He's a power coach and he is based in Mozambique. So we are talking international entrepreneurs today. Julio, it's great to have you on the show.
Thank you very much, Case. It's a super pleasure to be here.
So, you know, on this show, we love to talk about entrepreneurial journeys. This is all about how it is that you became an entrepreneur. But I always like to start with where you are today and then we'll work back. Yeah. So, What's a typical day like? What is your entrepreneurial life like today?
I wish I could say like the days were sort of like similar, but no day is the same. I'm an international business, Sharing Knowledge International. And with that, I might be jumping in a call with a client in Singapore today, and then tomorrow working with clients in the US. Yeah. And then the next day I might be doing a sort of like corporative training with clients in Europe. So it really goes on the road. And that's something they love because they don't really like, you know, monotonous work and doing the same thing all the time. Right. So it's really just a way for me to express that. So that's what I love about it.
Yeah, now that's fantastic because that's what so many aspiring entrepreneurs are dreaming of, being able to have, you know, the type of work that really is purposeful, but also inspires them because it is different and it is exciting. So tell us, did you come from an entrepreneurial family? Was this something that you always thought about when you were growing up?
Not really. Well, so but a little bit of backstory around me. My parents were divorced a few months before I was born. So I ended up being raised by my mother, me and also my four siblings. And I remember I remember hearing stories that before I was born and the period where she got divorced, used to like even sew clothes on the moonlight because they couldn't afford to really have like lights on during the night. So, but then I was born in a period where my mother had a huge shift in mindset. Yeah. So she ended up being the vice principal of a private school here in Mozambique. I was born and like, you know, with abundance of choices and options, and my siblings weren't. And I would just hear stories about, you know, that it was super hard. So I grew up with this mindset that, you know, being an entrepreneur isn't that safe. Yeah. And if you go and have a steady job, well, you're just set up for life, right? Yeah. And that was really what I believed for the longest of time. And I remember it was when I was in university, just about to graduate. They just hit me the last year that I didn't have a job after that.
That's a bit of a
surprise. It was always a surprise.
Yes.
Right. And even though I was a lecturer assistant in university, but it was like, well, it was nothing sort of like set in stone that I will keep still having that as a job. So I joined one of my best friends and we created this training company. And we were actually pretty successful in like trained almost 150 people.
Well, so, let's take a step back. How did you decide like suddenly you're gonna start a training company? Like where did that come from?
It was literally we were talking in his dinner table and I was like broke. I don't know what I'm doing in my life. Like, it was like 6 months and then I'll be without an income or anything. Like, well, you know, I wanted to go into the knowledge and training business, but I know nothing about education. And I was like, well, I'm the education living, breathing person. I mean, my parents were both teachers. So I grew up in a professional household and I was also a lecturer assistant. So I knew how to, you know, do courses and stuff. But at a point, I've never have developed my own courses. Okay. So as a professional would develop the course and then you go ahead and implement it and deliver it. I was like, you know what? We can actually try it out. What was the worst thing that could happen?
Right?
Like, I didn't have any sort of like backup plan. So I was like, let's just try it. And I remember that because in university, I learned that, you know, when you're launching a product, you should do some market research. And we were like, okay, let's sort of like hit two birds with this. And we use market research as one, a way to draw on customer insight and to promoting ourselves.
Yeah.
So we just designed, like we Googled some sort of like marketing research forms and we apply to go to university schools to talk with the students, right, about this course, this company going to launch, and get their feedback input. So it was very natural. And I remember,
Wow. Okay, I just wanted to emphasize that because for listeners who are thinking, they're not sure what they want to do, but you picked something you're interested in. And that's what I always say, pick something you're already interested in because then you could just build on the interest that you have. And then like you say, you start thinking about, okay, where you have to market research, Google, sure, Google it. That's one of the best ways to do anything. Just Google it. And if you don't know, and then take that next step though of reaching out to people. That's the part that always scares people is like, oh, I have to talk to somebody about this. So when you reached out to the schools, like you were just starting out, you didn't have big credentials or anything like that. So when you were
Not
reaching
at
out and
all.
saying, we want to present this to a school, like in a university class, were you worried about that? Or you thinking like, how did you convince people to let you do it?
I was,
Yes.
but before
Okay.
that, like, if anyone is trying to start a business and you feel like you're to do it by yourself, get a co-founder. That's why my friend did, right? Education business, but he had no sort of like educational background, and because I wanted to do something, it was a perfect match. So
Yeah, okay.
do it by yourself. Definitely ask for someone's help, right? And if you're not sure if they're going to be the right person to co-found an entire business, try it as a collaborative project,
Okay.
right? To do this, are you willing to help me out? It's going to be fun. Most probably one of your buddies will jump in and help you. Most probably. I remember that I was so scared at the time to go to those schools. So I got these eyeglasses with no graduation. I don't know, smart people wear glasses. I'm gonna wear glasses. And if I wear those
Okay.
glasses, I'm gonna be a smart person capable of speaking in front of university students.
Oh,
But
okay.
I already had the sort of like experience working with big crowds, right? I was a lecturer at the university. So there was an
Okay.
experiment,
Okay. So you did have
right?
some, you had the experience of speaking, of actually delivering training. You'd had that
Yeah, I
experience
had that
before. Yeah.
experience. So it
Okay.
wasn't
Okay.
that scary. But it was scary because it wasn't just delivering. It was really not delivering a training. It was asking people to give me input about my own ideas. So there was
Yeah.
a scary part.
Okay. Okay.
And later I learned that it's actually a great tool. If you're really scared of something, you can create an alter ego that is capable of doing the things that you are super afraid. Like Beyoncé used the same trick, like with Sasha Fierce when she started out. And if you
Okay.
stop to think, so many successful entrepreneurs, they use the alter ego as a way for sort of like protect them from all the rejection that might happen and risk going. And for me, the moment that I put those eyeglasses, I was like the Superman of training and business. I'm
Oh,
so you
okay.
can use whatever you want to sort of trigger you to instantly jump into that mode where all of a sudden you are capable of.
Yeah. So that's an interesting trick because a lot of people are afraid from the beginning they don't have the confidence to start. So you create your confident alter ego. I love that. Give it, make sure you have a name, make sure somebody uses it and
Mine
then
was David.
Okay. That sounded like a serious professor type name.
He was serious. David was serious.
Okay, that's fabulous. So you do that, so you're able to get your market research. And what is the does the market research tell you what you want to hear? Because I think sometimes when people have an idea and then they realize, okay, this is really important because some people have
It
the idea
is.
and it sounds like the greatest idea to you, and then you actually try it. Nobody's
Nobody.
interested.
So I was doing agricultural engineering in university.
Okay.
Like the entire period, we had like two major in marketings, and I loved it. Like for me, marketing made sense, right? You could do personal marketing, you can do business marketing, and all the then ramifications in marketing. And my co-founder, he had a background in accounting. So
Okay.
accounting makes sort of like sense, right? So we did around 500 surveys, and we got around five people showing interest on marketing.
Oh, fine.
For me, that was horrible because in university, I did an agricultural engineering so academic background, and we had marketing there. And for me, marketing all the sense, your personal marketing, business marketing, and all the different ramifications of it. But then I did these 500 surveys, and only five people show interest in
And sometimes that is what happens. And so now you have to
It is.
persevere. So what did you do next when you
It is.
realized that?
And then, but also my co-founder, he had background in accounting, and for him, people would really be drawn in accounting. And I guess people show interest in accounting. So he was better than me, but not that much better. We found out that people were like interested in skills like basic HR management, basic English, ICT major one. And I remember we were sitting again in the dinner table where all the ideas will come to fruition. And we were just talking, you know, what we're going to do. People don't really like what we're trying to deliver. And I remember being like, dude, I'm broke. You are not much different from me.
Yeah.
Let's not put our egos before our vision.
Okay.
And there was like the first time that was me like, oh, as a business person, it's not really about me only. I will say it's 20% me, but 80% my market.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, that's really the thing that sort of like help us to really go through the business and really deliver the courses. And I'm so glad that I didn't went down and develop the training courses before doing the research.
Yes.
Otherwise, I'll be devastated.
Yes. And that is so cool. I know people think, oh, it's the best idea ever. You really want to put it out there, but get your research ahead of
No.
time and see what people are really looking for. People will tell you because they're always looking for, you know, something. Okay, so you do your market research, you realize that people are interested in, you know, specific subjects. Then what's the
Yeah.
next step to actually create the product that's going to deliver for them?
So we started by going like straight and doing applications for our programs before starting developing it, right?
Okay.
With sense, because it's very easy for people to say yes when there's not
Yeah.
a peg to it.
Yeah.
And when it comes down to paying, people might be like, I'm not really sure. And we ran like all the numbers. I believe we needed to have at least 10 people in a training to
Okay.
make it profitable for us.
Okay.
And those were we were sort of like hiring out our friends to do like the ICT portion of it, right?
Yeah.
And I remember like in the first week we got like two people and we were like, oh, you know what? Two people for a course, maybe there is something there. Let me at least
Okay.
develop in the course. So
Okay.
at this stage, I've never developed a course in my life, right?
Okay.
Different things that other people will develop.
Yeah.
What I do again? Google. And I
Oh.
Google, you know, how do you develop a course? What is
Yeah.
important? Subjects, all the stuff, and I did it. I developed the course. I developed the training materials. The application was starting to get like we were starting to get more and more people in. We had flyers all over the town.
Wait.
We were on track.
I was going to ask how you do that. How do you actually find those first clients? So
Yeah.
flyers, you're literally putting them just like, did you put them at the universities? Like, where did you put them?
We put it everywhere. Really, what we did, we hire some junior people from university, and we just
Yeah.
collected the posters, just put them everywhere. That was one. And two, and they weren't even like beautiful flyers. They're like black and white.
Okay. But
Wasn't
that's
anything
important to
like,
know too. You know,
yeah.
that's because you don't have to have something fancy. You don't have to have, like, a lot
Not
of
at
people want to work
all.
on their logo. They want their color scheme. They want all these things.
No.
It's your content that people are looking
It was
for. So,
horrible. It was horrible.
okay.
And that was one. And two, when we did the forums, we asked people mobile phones. At least here in Mozambique,
Yeah.
people are not that in tune with emails.
Okay.
So mobile phones make sense. And we just send tons of WhatsApp for them. Like, hey, our course is launched, talk together in university or in the school or whatever we were. And here's the courses you can apply here. If you have any questions, you can just drop to our offices and you can talk,
Oh,
right?
interesting. Okay.
Yeah, so that was smart of us. That's what I
Yeah.
said. It wasn't just about sort of like getting marketing insights by doing
Yeah.
research, but also about getting their contact details so that when the project was ready, we have something like we had a direct communication channel with the entrepreneurs,
Okay.
with the
Interesting.
students. Yeah.
Yeah. Now I like that you got their contact details when you first met them. A lot of
Yes.
people miss that. They you know, they
Yeah.
do a presentation and they have no mechanism in place for getting people's contact information. And then you had actually interviewed all those people,
Yeah.
and so you knew that only that you heard already what they wanted. So you're able to
Yeah.
go back to them, and it's not as like spam or anything like that when you're saying, hey, you were attend
No.
you did this market research, we've created this course, like you're actually delivering
Yeah.
them the exact value that they had asked for. So
Yeah.
yeah, that's a really
And
good
that's what I
tool.
say to most entrepreneurs, like, don't be afraid or scared to start small. I mean, if you just come off as this big brand right off the bat and no one really knows you,
Yeah.
it's a little weird, right? And you won't even have social proof. But if you say,
Yeah.
hey, we are just starting this course, we are brand new. This is sort of like my background, if you have any. But if you don't, just say, I'm curious about it.
Yeah.
Can you do this make sense for you? And if not, what will make sense?
Yeah.
And then be like, thank you. Can I have your contact details and to give you updates about it? People will feel that connection. And that's something that most customers are looking for, because we are
Mm-hmm.
tired of buying from these big brands. They don't really know us,
Right,
but
right.
small, you can really get that relationship going.
Yeah, I'm glad you said that because that's really what the success right now is of online business, is
Yes.
everybody in their niches that they're providing, direct, something that really resonates directly with with a person. So that's amazing. So you start to build up the business, you're getting more and more customers. And are you finding that you're it was so popular you had to start scaling right away? Or how did that work as you began to grow?
So it was great because really from the very early, we had like 150 students in the first 3 months. We had four courses going on. And I remember I was working 5 days a week, 8 hours a day just training. And I had like 2 more hours to just do all the management part and check on other facilitators and stuff.
How
But
were
the fun
you?
thing,
Was the training offered? Was it online or was it in person?
was it in person?
It was all in person. Okay, so you're
Yeah, this was
working.
like 7 years seven years ago. So it
Yeah,
was all in
okay,
person.
okay, yeah.
I remember the first day at the classroom, right?
Okay.
Remember, I spent a lot of time Googling and developing my class, all my program. And I go into the classroom, and I remember having like literally like students sort of like frozen waiting for me, this godlike figure, to deliver content. And I was like, this is not it. I'm not doing this. In my mind, it was like, I will have to spend 8 hours a day just talking. No, that's not how learning is fun for me. And even though I will think back my days in university, if I had a teacher that would just come in and just read a PowerPoint, I'd be like, I can read. deliver the value, right? Like share your experience around it. And I was like, okay, forget about it. But it's like, let's just make a circle with those tables. I sat in at the table, and they were like, this teacher is crazy. I'm like, no, let's just talk. How was your day? What have you done? What was your failure? And I shared in mine. And that really just broke that sort of like thing that, oh, the teacher or facilitator knows everything, and the student who doesn't know anything. I was like, just talk. And then here are some posts. Let's just share. Because if I will ask a question, they'll be like, I don't know the answer. And I was like, just write down whatever comes onto your mind in this post. Just really have a conversation. And you can imagine that for the rest of the day, I just use the same strategy to really just make sure safe space where people are empowered to just speak and talk.
So you
And I
actually
end up,
changed your approach right away.
on the
You
first day.
changed it right from the beginning. That's interesting also, because I think some people think that you have to do whatever you told them, you have to stay to whatever you were
No,
advertising or something like that. But you
no.
recognize you as they say, the mood of the crowd and you just
Yeah, for sure.
adapted to it.
Yeah, because it wasn't working. I mean, they weren't learning, and I wasn't having that. And remember, it was 8 hours of my life. And I'm not gonna work. This is not gonna work. And in the end of the session, I asked them, like, did you guys enjoy it? I know it was weird first, but was it fun? And they were like, yeah, we love it. We get to talk. We don't do that in school. And here we can learn. Like, this is amazing. You gotta keep doing this. And that's what I did. 3 months there were the course lasting. That was fun. And I also started to like teach my colleagues to do the same thing with their students, right? To really make sure that as a company we're like sort of like stable and with the same standard.
How many people were you
And
at this point when you were starting? How many people were
so it
teaching?
was me and my co-founder, sort of like managing, and we had an sort of like admin person that will deal with paying off, and we had other two trainers.
So you actually started as with quite like a team, you say.
We had to, right? Because for me it was weird at a point, like as a facilitator being asking for friends. It was like friend, I'm like facilitator, and then I'm like, where's my money? Right, so
That
it
is
felt
awkward.
awkward. Yeah, that was awkward. So we hired, and when I say hired, it wasn't like full-time thing, it was just like a friend who their spare time will do this work with us.
But that makes sense. And I think you as an entrepreneur, when you're starting your business, a lot of people just want to do everything themselves. But you have to realize where things don't work. And so if you need like a middleman between you and the payments process and that type of thing, you just make those adjustments as you go along, because of course it makes the business flow that much easier. Otherwise, it becomes just too much, stress on the entrepreneur.
Yeah, for sure. And it was literally like you will get a percentage of whatever you get. So it was commission-based work and made sense, right? We wouldn't pay for things that we didn't have. And for entrepreneurs, it's like if you are trying to scale your business, you won't be able to do it, right? There is a limitation on what you can do. Say if me doing a training will cost like, I don't know, $100 an hour, and people will cost me $20 an hour, how do you think my time will be more valuable? Better
Right.
for me to do the trainings, get
Yes.
$100 and pay
Yeah.
$20 to someone else to charge it, right?
Right.
That was like
Absolutely.
our thinking process going on.
Okay. So you're doing training now, you're doing 8 hours a day, but even though you've changed it to a sort of an easier pro well, better process for the students, you're still doing 8 hours a day. So how is that going? Because that's when it makes it difficult to scale when you're the
For
star.
sure. Yeah, for sure. And because like when we'll do that survey, the students will be like, I was the best teacher, because some students will be like in three courses and they will say that I was the best. And I was like, okay, this is fun. But really, so like the thing I always say that when you're running a business and you start like to just keep in your comfort zone, the business starts giving you signs, right? It was in terms of I will feel happy and energized, but then I will notice that my peers will sort of like struggle to keep up with the pace, right? So that was one sign. And two, I was feeling like an imposter.
Oh, really? Even at this point?
Yeah, because I didn't know what I was doing. I was just following my intuition and my gut feeling and and Googling things. I was having results. And I was like, but is this like, does it even make sense?
But the students were giving you feedback. Was that not helping with
Yeah,
your feeling that it was working?
no, it wasn't working. I guess imposter syndrome is way more about you feeling as though you deserve that success. Because for me, it was sort of like easy. I just Google it and I got the phone. And there was like no much trick around that. Like what I was missing. It was this fear that I was missing something, but I did it missing. And I was like, I'm making good decisions, but I know I could do better. I just didn't know how. I know that this business can grow. I just don't know how.
Oh,
Really, I
I
really,
see.
you know what I mean?
So you realized you had a good idea. You'd figured out a way to make it work. You were getting paid, all of that, but then you could see there's something else that could, and what's that next step? What's the next move?
And I had no idea. And I remember after many talks in the table, in the garden, whatever it was, we were like, I need to develop as a leader. And in the days, at least here in Mozambique, business coaches, startup advisors, mentors, there were not even words. The only way that I can really get my leadership sort of like leveling up, it was for me to get a job and then learn the most that I can do during my 9 to 5, and then that with my business partner on the weekends or after hours. And it was one of the most tough conversations I had. He's my best friend, so it was like rough. But we sort of like set out the process that I was going to do train the trainers. And these are like six in the business, right? I never trained the trainers before.
Oh, yeah, they had just done it
Right?
themselves.
Yeah. And it was like, I'm going to train the trainers and I'm going to pick like the best students from the previous cohorts, the ones that I really think that they can deliver it and manage it. And then I'm going to teach my co-founder everything that I've learned. And then he's going to manage it. And then I'm going to be this consultant for my own business. And this is what I did. Then I moved to town. I moved towns. I came to the capital of Mozambique. I ended up a beautiful Mozambican company called Idea Lab. They're major in entrepreneurship and innovation and also training course. The thing that sort of like really sparked my interest around them was that their methodology seems very interesting. And two, they were like, I was very good at a point to build connections in like 3 months, right? We'll be buttered like 1 month. But I heard they were doing stuff in like 2 days and people will.
Really?
And I was like, whoa, this is magic. This is the next level.
Wow.
Right? So I joined them. It was super fun. I learned a lot and still in. Actually, I was working 10 hours for them just because I was really eager to learn new stuff. And then I co-founder after hours and on the weekends so that he could get, the business going. And eventually, sort of like point where I had to decide between my career or my business. And I was like, dude, right now, let me focus on my career. And I literally just sold my shares to him and I was in business. I did that for around 2 years because I was 2 years with Idea Lab. Then I made the shift. And 2 years into Idea Lab, they invited me to lead the launch of a business incubation program. And that program ended up becoming one of the top tier programs here in Mozambique. And it was super fun because when I started the program, it was like, well, I've been an entrepreneur, right? And I've been this who doesn't know what he's doing. Just figuring it out. And now I'm getting the chance to support other young people to do the same. So they don't do all the things that I went through. So I was super passionate. And I end up sort of being this role model for the Orange Corners program. And they create centers in other African countries, such as Angola, Sudan. I got to travel the world as a speaker, as a trainer, trying to get an exposition. And 29, so what happened was in 2018, I was starting the same feeling that there was something else. Why, like, this is the pattern, like something else, I don't know why. And something that I started doing was, I call them power up boot camps that I do with myself first, and now I do it with my clients. It's like a days where you just focus on you, understanding, you know, coming from your goals, how are you happy with your life, and then next for you.
Now, where did you get that? I like that whole approach from, because I didn't, here you were. Okay, so you've had a business now that you've run, and you've worked for someone. You sort of work for someone, but it's in the same field of running the business and so on. So now you're making another pivot, and where does that like? You can see, okay, you knew there was still something else, but where did you get like the information from, or decide that that was the way that you were going to go next?
So, the boot camps, they started like really because I'm usually a reflective person, right? I'm like, I don't mind being with a book, a cup of tea, and thinking of life. And on a daily basis, I reflect, right? And it's pretty conscious. I guess it's because when I was growing up, my siblings were always at, like, we have a huge age gap. My closest sibling, he's 6 years older than me. So when they were at school, I was at home. When I was at school, they were at home. So I lose time alone. And for me, it was like, well, let's just think, right? And I'll like daydream and stuff. And I guess when I joined Idea Lab, I was like, okay, I'm working for someone else. Let me be serious about this. So I started to have those sort of like boot camps. And when I started, I didn't have a name. It was just like, well, this weekend, I'm going to stop and think,
So you
right?
just okay,
Just like that. Like,
you
let me
just
stop and
decided,
think, you
okay.
know? Yeah, like let me go, let me check, how can I improve, how can I make more money, how can I ace what I'm doing, how can I better support my co-founder, just think. And with everything that I was learning, I started to put like a structure on it, but really it was just for me when I started. It was never something that I thought I'd be doing for other people.
It's
Yeah,
interesting
and it,
because I think a lot of people get caught up in, this idea of the hustle culture or the
yeah.
grind, and if you stop, your business will fail, and you're and all this stuff. But yet there's you take taking the time to reflect and plan and think probably is going to accelerate the business, because you don't get burned out and you don't get lost and you stay focused on your goals and your objectives. So that's really great that you actually that came to you to do that, because a lot of people have to be forced to do
But
that,
yeah, I guess for me, it's because I never thought about trading just time for money. So I always have this concept that, you know, it's not about time, it's about the value I'm providing. I can provide the same value in a short period of time, so I get to invest the time in something else, right? And that was one. And two, like, I was a point in my career where I was starting to like work without weekends to like twine. And it was horrible because I'll work like days straight and then I'll be like dead. Like, literally, I'll show up in the office and don't be productive at all.
You can't
Stuff
after you work
that
like
you can, right? Like, stuff that I knew that I could solve just easily and quickly, I'll be just bragging all day to do it. And I was, weekends are for chilling and relaxing and enjoying and spending with family and friends. But yeah, I did that boot camp, and the thing was happened that I got exposed to people in positions of power, from ambassadors from different embassies here in Mozambique to CEOs from bigger companies, and they were very supportive. The thing that I found is every time we were in a meeting, and sort of like I had to prove that I deserved to be there. Partners, they understand my value, right? They understand why I should be there. But for sort of like the rest of the people, it was like, what's this kid doing here? I'm super young. I'm 26. Yeah, I'm 26. I just started in October, so I'm still adapting and, you know, accepting the new year. But yeah, the thing was that I noticed that it was an hour meeting and I had chance to speak. I'll spend 5 minutes just proving myself, you
That
know?
you should be there,
And
yeah.
yeah, and I also noticed that my leadership will also spend quite a time saying, like, hey, he deserves to be here. This is what he knows. I was like, well, I'm not really spending much time working on the things that I need to work on. It was just like, well, what would be a fun way that I didn't get to get introduced, or at least to prove that I deserve to be there? And win awards. You know, I was like, okay, win awards. And so in 2019, it was the year that I won 3 international awards. So in Jan, I won the most outstanding delegate.
Now I gotta be think. People are thinking, what do you mean you just win awards? So what is the process for ensuring that you're eligible and then get recognized for a chance to win an award?
So they will depend on the type of the award. When the idea in awards, I guess it was because there is this quote that said you have to work so hard that, or did you become so good that people that you don't need an introduction? And I'm like, yeah, but what will be like something they will label me as good, right? And from my agricultural background, it's a certificate, right? If you're a certified organic farmer, that's your label, right? That testifies that you are certified to do something. I was like, well, let me just win awards. And to be honest, I didn't start it out looking for them. I remember this one was for an event, so Global Goals Model United Nations in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia. And it just popped out in my Facebook. And I was like, well, this is interesting. I didn't read, but I did commit it to winning awards, right? Just apply and see if I can make it to the conference. And then we'll figure out the whole award stuff. They accepted me. And I was like, well, now I have to go to Malaysia. And I went there. And even though that I was working with diplomats, the entire sort of like UN communication can be very rigid, very stiff. There are ways for you to speak. There's a whole process going on. And I didn't have that. And they're like people who went to this conference like 5 times and never won like an award, right? You know what? I'm already in a different continent. Let's just me be grateful for that. By the way, I invested my cash, my savings to do the trip, right? So that's super important as an entrepreneur. You have to invest in
You
yourself.
do. You absolutely do. And you have to think about it always as an investment, not just, oh,
Always.
don't think about the money. You say, this is an investment I'm making,
No.
for the next step. Absolutely.
So I paid for it. It was beyond what I was thinking to pay, but I did it, and I'm glad I did. So I traveled there, and I remember like the reason why I won the award, like the main reason was because I just spoke my truth, discussion around how we can support economies grow. I was in the SDG 8, so that decent work and economic growth, sort of like CUN, right? And like there was a group that was sort of like speaking, oh, we're going to work with universities in developing countries on data, so internet and people giving us their data. And we're going to rely on existing infrastructure to boost and grow, right? And while they were saying that, my entire body was like, you gotta be kidding me. I came from a developing country and I know those things are not real, right? And I still don't know why they give me permission to speak. Remember, this is a very UN-like vibe, so everyone there seemed comfortable. And
Very formal and very,
very formal, very respectful. And I say something along the lines like, thank you very much for the candidates or the groups to say, to come up with a thoughtful process or project. We will do have some points to just offer, right? What you say you're going to relate on data in Africa, like where internet is beyond expensive, non-reliable, where you literally have to pay people to give you data to help their life.
You have to give them some incentive.
And you are saying you're going to do that. Okay, good luck. Two, remember, this is a UN environment, right? Two, you're talking about infrastructures. Like, do you know how tall is the tallest building in Mozambique? One guess. And they were like, well, 100, 100 floors, 70 floors. I'm like, no,
No.
33 floors.
33.
Oh, I'm like, yeah, but I'm not done yet, right? I have experience working with them. Some of them, they will take your cash and leave. No answer. They're not all university, right? Just some of them. Was like, well, God, really, again, thank you very much for your proposal. But I will advise you to stop relying on vague dreams and focus on what matters. And I didn't thought about those things. I just said. And after I was done speaking, a friend of mine, a Brazilian guy, so he's Brazilian, he also speaks Portuguese, and he was like, dude, did you know? Are you aware of what you've done? And I just said, I was like, oh my God, if I had any chance of winning this thing, it's gone.
But you did the right thing. That's because it's so many long histories of the UN and other organizations that sort of put money in, but they don't put any, they've never been there. They've never put any time into the countries or the region to really see. So I think that's fantastic. And
But I
they
was
did,
super scared. And well, after that, when the ceremony and they say that I won the most outstanding delegate, it's like, wow, I was in shock.
What's the name of the award?
So it's the most outstanding delegate at
Most
Global
outstanding delegate.
United Nations. And it was like, well, I remember really like they called my name. I was like, wait, who? Is it me? Okay, it's me. So that was fun. So I guess the first thing, if you want to win awards, really just excel in anything in your life, is just be authentic, be
Yes,
yourself
yes,
in
yeah,
your heart. That's where
yeah.
people really connect, right? People
Right.
could literally see that I was really pissed off
Yes.
because the truth, right? There was something that people can relate on here.
And I think may, so and the fact that you, probably that you did that sort of woke people up as well. You know, that's the term now to be woke, but but in that set, and even in that context. And so I think it, there's a couple, you know, it's so interesting because you're thinking you wanted to get some extra credentials, you know, social proof, whatever you want to call it. You think, okay, awards. I don't think too many people think of that. It's the first time I've heard of that. You know, you see bios that people say that they won this award or won that, but to actually have that as a strategy. But then so you go and but you're authentic. You're even risking, like you thought, oh, you spent the money, you really wanted this, but you're gonna risk it all because you want to stay true to yourself, and that still ended up being rewarded. So that's amazing.
But it is, I found that for me at least, life always meets you in the middle,
Yeah,
right?
yeah.
That's, if you want to talk about law of attraction, manifestation, achievements, if you're just sitting down waiting for someone to show up and save you, I mean, you might be sitting down for the rest of your life.
Exactly. You will be because
Probably.
the outcome of doing nothing is nothing. It's easy to predict the outcome of doing
Right. Yeah.
nothing.
And I also say you do have to participate in your own rescue. I mean, if a building is in fire and the fire people came to save you and you're just like, no, let me sit here, and you're fighting them. I mean, if I were me, I would just drop you there. Like, you want to die. Participate in your own rescue. So that was
Absolutely.
the first award came to. This
Excellent.
one, it was an award that you can only participate if someone will nominate you.
Oh, okay.
Self-nominated. And well, actually, one of the entrepreneurs I supported heard about this award and she nominated me without me even knowing about it.
Oh,
Right?
wow. Wow, yeah.
And well, I just got an email saying that this person nominated you, so shout out for her. Her name is Elika. So it was
Yeah.
like, nominated you. Congratulations, you won the Diana Award from the UK, which is an award that was built in the memory of the Princess Diana
Yeah.
for her humanitarian work. So for a young person to receive that award is
Yeah.
a huge testimonial of their humanitarian works to support communities in need. And for me, it
Wow.
was around social entrepreneurship.
Yeah.
So that's my second sort of like lesson, is if you're really committed in delivering value and impacting people's lives,
Yeah.
they're going to be the ones championing for your cause for you.
Absolutely.
Don't be
Absolutely.
afraid to just over-deliver when you need it, and really coming from this place that you really genuinely want to help, and you will start seeing, the reward coming back to you.
Yeah, and I think also just on the issue of entrepreneurship as that path to helping people, changing communities, giving people options. I know some people think, oh, it's just business, but really entrepreneurship is an opportunity to do work that really matters for yourself, but you're delivering value. It's always solution oriented. Like there's no, you know, you're starting a business because you saw a problem that needs a solution. So that means it's built into the story that you should be helping people, and that's what ha ends up happening. So that's it really interesting to be recognized sort of for a humanitarian award in the field of entrepreneurship.
Yeah, then I was
Yeah.
like, wow. It was super interesting because I even remember that before she applied, she's like, Julie, can I have a conversation with you? Like, I just need inspiration. And she was asking me questions. I was like, why are you asking me those things?
Oh, she was
Right?
asking you
Like,
for the
why am I?
application. All
Yeah, she was asking me for application. Like,
right.
why are you asking me for those things? Like, those are some deep questions. But okay, here's the answer. Do it. This is why I do it.
Yeah.
Just being honest, right?
Yeah.
The third award was the most shocking for me because, like, so far it was like two international awards, right? And
Okay.
all of my work in terms of, really focusing on decent jobs creation and economic growth. And the other one was way more about me being concerned about my community and actually doing something about it.
Okay.
Third award, I won in October. And I remember that I was working with a personal assistant, and he just sent me a link of this competition for being awarded as one of the 100 most influential young Africans.
Ah.
Dude, like, are you really serious? Like, why not, Julie? Isn't that like something that you were trying to achieve this year? I'm like, yeah, but if you stop to think, like, a Mozambique can win this award, like, doesn't make a lot of sense. I mean, South Africans will win, Nigerians will win, Ethiopians will win. Kenyans will win, Rwandans win. I was naming everyone. I was like, Mozambican. And he's like, but Julio, like, aren't you the one who says that if you say it's, if you committed yourself to something, just do it? I said that, okay. Then they actually.
Yes, you've been forced to say it to
Yeah, right?
confirm that you said it.
I did say that. And I did the application, I just sent it, completely forgot it. And I remember I was watching like a house tour on YouTube or something. And they were touring the house of someone who won the award the previous year. And I was like, well, this is funny. But you know, a South African, not a Mozambican, whatever.
But
And
just that
then
you were randomly watching a house video that just happened to be
randomly.
about them. Okay,
Randomly, and it's insane.
okay.
And then I guess a few months after, my colleague at work sent me the link to apply for it, and he was like,
Okay.
to apply. I'm like, dude, I at that time I forgot I already applied it. Like, dude, seriously, I gave him the same speech. I'm Mozambican, winning it, like, forget about it. South Africans, Rwandans, Nigerians. And then I was like, you know, I did say that I want to win an award, so let me just focus on this. And I was sort of like filling the application. I was like, I answered this already. I went back. I saw that I already applied for it. And then I was in October the 4th. I just got this email saying like, oh, actually it was October the 1st. So it was like, hey, congratulations. You made it to the next stage. Can you give us a photo and a bio and all that stuff? Like, sure. What next phase, right? Didn't come back. And then in October the 4th, like, a friend like DM me this photo of me, like a tag of 100 most influential young African. I'm like, what? Like, what? And then he sends another one, like top 10 for social business and philanthropy. I'm like, what? Like, and for me, it's like, if you don't know, there are like around 20, 200 million people in Africa, or at least 200
That is
million
more.
in Africa.
Oh, young people,
Young people, yeah,
yeah.
young people, yeah, young people in Africa. And for you to be considered one of the 100 most influential, and I was like, where did you go those stuff? And he's like, well, the news. I'm like, on the what
And
news?
they hadn't, it's interesting, they didn't tell you you had been named.
Well, yeah, I mean, I was like, well, is it an email that I missed? And I went to look at what's happening. And then I was in the website and I just got this message. I'm like, oh my God, I actually won it. I believe that I accepted it, but it's just completely mind-blowing that I actually got to win it. And the third lesson that I can offer you is, if you committed to something, just do it. If I hadn't applied, if I was like, well, you know, Nigerians can do it, or what the fuck you are telling yourself, like maybe white people can do it, or rich people can do it, or whatever it, you'll never do it, right? But if you committed yourself and do it something, go ahead and do it.
And you know what? And also, when you know about something that you, it's only the time to fill out the application or something like that. Like,
Yeah,
why not just
right?
go ahead? And just take that time, especially if you've set that goal that you want to try for these types of accolades, then just take, the half hour or whatever it takes you to fill out everything, get your picture, send it to the, and then let that happen. And so now you're able to call yourself 100 most,
Yes, right.
100 most influential. And social business was the
So
sort
the
of
subcategory,
category.
was like top 10 for social business and philanthropy, where I was like, well, this is huge. And I found that it really happened that later, when people would introduce me, just using any one of those titles, it was just easier for me to show up and really focus about the things that we really want to work. Because or at least I didn't sort of like seek those awards out of vanity. It was because I was tired of seeing good people spending a lot of time just proving that I deserve to be there. And I also more time confirming that. And I'm like, how can we just cut that? Right? Really start working on things that matter.
And I think I know that's a hard thing for some people, be social proof, because that's when imposter syndrome and all these other things come in. But if you're doing the work and you're out there and you're have your clients and they're giving you good feedback and all these things are happening, you could put yourself out in these other situations, like applying for awards and things like that, and just to get out those initial credentials. In online business, results are what counts. If your customers close, social proof, all that kind of thing, and you want to be able to tell people that. I know some people shy away from it, but at some point you got to get out there and tell people what you're doing.
We have like when I remember I was supporting this female entrepreneur. So she makes delicious food out of most insane stuff like fire shell, like eggshells, that we waste from fruits, like things that you wouldn't consider edible. And she makes it delicious and nutritious as well. And she was like, Well, I'm afraid to go on television and speak about it. I'm afraid to promote it. Don't you think you are doing a huge disservice to God who gave you this talent, to the community, if you just, staying with your beautiful product for yourself? If you had the cure for cancer, we'll be like, well, I have the cure of cancer. If anyone, let me know. No, right? You'll be showing and promoting it everywhere.
And even if you're afraid, I think that's the thing, or the reason, people think about, oh, I can't reach out to a local radio station or TV or anything like that because they'll think I'm, wasting their time or something like that. But you know that you, again, if you've got a product or a service, you've already received feedback on it from your customers, your clients, you've got something there, and that's
Yeah,
what you
for
have to go
sure.
with. Yeah.
And
Yeah.
the worst thing can happen. They will be saying no.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? People are going to say no. That's part of the process
Well,
too.
yeah, I mean, I applied for other three awards that I didn't
Okay.
ask, so that's fine, right? Like, I guess we have to also remember that hearing a no doesn't mean that we're going to die, right? We have this fear around rejection. Nowadays, people can reject you, you're gonna be fine.
Yes, exactly. Especially since it's all virtual. So,
Yeah,
it's not like the threats of the
yeah.
past. So you were able to do that. You were able to get, some more lines on your bio and building up. So what's next as you continue to grow and enhance the
So
business?
at the point, I was full-time employee and I was doing career counseling, sort of like as a side hustle, right? People will come to, hey, you had a great career. How can I also sort of get into the right tracks and all that stuff? And I don't really like the same feeling of sort of like you were playing too small was sort of like a kicking in, but this time it was much sort of like intense. I remember like I will go home and feel completely tired to the point, go home, sleep, wake up. And it's not like I hated my job. It's not like I had a beef at the office. Not at all. It was literally like I was just feeling depleted all the time, even though that I love the job. So when I was working, I was happy, but then I went home and I was super tired. And then I was happy to be home, but also not enjoying it. So, and it was like this weird place where when I traveled to Bahrain in the Middle East for a speaking engagement there, this guy came to me after the workshops. He was like, Julie, you were so intense. I've learned this, that. I'm gonna stop this. This is my track. Like, thank you, thank you. And I remember thinking to myself, like, I'm just showing up. I'm doing like the very least possible to just fill in room and leave. And I remember going to the hotel room and being like, you know what? This is not the life that I applied for. Like I applied for a life where I get to travel, where I get to talk to people, where I get to help them grow, and I feel good about it. So I decided to take 2020 as a sabbatical from my work to really just figure it out. And little did I knew, they will throw me in into a journey of deep personal development and lifestyle design and career design. So I like you name it. I learned from Tony Robbins, Marissa Peer. Like if there was an expert talking about purpose, passion, helping people, crafting, whatever, I was in. And plus, I was reflecting a lot, right? And I remember I started before the sabbatical started. So it was in August when this started out. And surprisingly enough, my life was looking pretty good, right? I had all of my dreams. I was winning awards. And outside, everything was perfect. On the inside, I was like, this is not my life. This doesn't feel me. And I guess some of the lessons that I could just sum up for you guys is one is we are not in control of our lives. And I know we're like, listen to this podcast, we're thinking that I'm going to help you control your life. No. And actually, that's a good thing. I mean, can you imagine how hideous it will be for you to control every single aspect of your life? Like you have good control when you're breathing in, when you're out.
Well,
That
yeah,
would
we
be
don't have time
crazy.
for
We don't have time
that.
for that. So I guess the role that is being offered to us is the role of the lead co-creator of our reality. You get to decide how you're going to show up, what your intention is, and you get to collaborate with other people, with the universe, with nature, in your outcomes, right? Way more fun that way.
You make the
And two,
choices.
yeah, you make the choices, right? Like, I won an award. Do I choose to promote it or do I choose to just myself, right? I was rejected. Do I choose to go back to my room or my mother bed, or do I choose to actually show up and try next time, right? That's the thing that we can control is our why, our purpose. We got to define that. And there is no at least I've never heard of, a book where it's like, know your name and what you should be doing on it. A lot of people think like, oh, Julia, you just woke up and you found that this was your purpose and you
right,
found,
right.
Oh, I decided this is going to be my life.
Right, right.
Right? Like, so right. You have, that's 100% on you. And I guess the next point is going to be that success is 20% the external game and 80% internal game.
Yeah.
One of the things that have been sort of like in the back of the mind for the longest of time was like, if I have a class of 10 students, right?
Yeah.
Like 10, 5 of them really get it. Even if they're, they're not brightest or smart, but they get it, right?
Okay.
And actually implement those things.
Okay.
And 5 wouldn't, even though they were having access to the same things. And sometimes they would even show up in class like, yeah, I got that. Like, I got it. But they will never amend it.
Hmm.
And I was, they're not stupid. They're not dumb. They're not idiots. I don't believe in that.
Right.
So what was going on, right?
Right.
I heard this example from Tony Robbins, like, who in this world, like in developed world, doesn't know how to burn fat and build muscle? We all know, right? It's
right.
a combination of three things, dieting, exercising, and sleeping.
Yeah.
Right. And most of us, if we grab our phones, we have a PT in our in contact list, right? Or we want who can help us with that.
Yeah.
And we may know our nutritionists and even sleep doctors nowadays, right? We have the resources.
Right,
so
right.
keeping us for being in that bad shape, right? And what I found is that the 20% that most people focus on and I was focused on is the strategy and the context. Right? You gotta have the right strategy.
Yeah.
The right strategy, you gotta have them, but you also want to implement them in the right context, right?
Yeah.
A bit works in Mozambique, might not work in the US.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah.
So you have to sort of like fine-tune your context to your strategy.
Right.
But it's just 20%.
Right.
Now, the percent is your identity, your mindset, and your energy.
Yeah.
That's the best example I can give to people is like a laptop example, right? You say you want to buy a laptop. You have two main choices, a MacBook-based laptop or a Windows-based laptop, right?
Mm-hmm.
You go for the iPad or the MacBook Pro, right?
Yeah.
That MacBook has an identity, a hardware and a software. And you got to do, you have your body and you have who you identify as.
Yeah.
And he will get so like tricked, be like, oh, I am a business person. I'm an entrepreneur. I'm a mom. I'm a dad. Those are roles.
Yeah.
This is not who you are.
Yeah.
And if you get sort of like too attached with your roles, once your roles change, you might find yourself forgetting who you were. Like, as you see,
that's exactly what happens.
Get it.
Yeah.
You become empty nested and now you don't know who the other kids.
Right.
You lose a job and you don't know who you are. It's not just a matter of income, it's your identity, right? So identity component that most people have to upgrade to match the new version of themselves, right? If you go and buy the brand new MacBook Pro, if you don't install some programs, that MacBook won't be of that value, right?
It's not going to work very well.
Yeah, you need to install something there. Like, I don't know, Zoom, Final Cut Pro, Adobe, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And that's your mindset. Is that interface that allows you to interact with the world. So you can be the most selfless person, but if you don't believe that making money and helping people is okay, and it should be, you find that you will be doing great impact and always rejecting money.
Right.
Or a proposal and people will always be like, oh, that's too expensive. I cannot buy it. Because people will be telling you the things that you've been telling yourself.
Yeah.
Unconsciously, right? That's the mindset. And then if you, let's say you've got the MacBook, you got all the programs, eventually you have to connect to a power source.
That's true.
No way running out of energy, right?
I forgot that part, yeah.
So you gotta keep that energy. You have gotta keep, you gotta keep yourself connected with that higher source of energy. God, universe, spirit, whatever you want to call it, that could be the thing that you have when, you know, if you start a business to support your family, that feeling, that energy in motion, that emotion is what's going to get you going, even when everyone is saying you no.
Yeah.
If everything is falling apart, you remember that, hey, I started this not just for me,
right?
Something higher and bigger than me. And that's what's going to keep you, keep pushing you forward when you have to repeat the same pitch 100 times a day.
Yes.
You know?
Yeah. It's so
keep
true.
Keep doing the work.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, for sharing that, because it's so true that everybody wants the glamorous entrepreneur life, but the day to day, you repeat things 100 times. You have to change. You have to pivot. You have to twist and turn.
Sure.
You have to adapt, and so on. And then the thing that keeps you going is, like you say, it is your purpose, like why you're doing it. who you're doing it for, if you, you know, if you have a bigger vision, yourself, your family, your community, the world, you know, whatever value you're adding. And
It
that's what really should be keeping you going.
is.
Now,
Yeah, for sure.
did you talked about how you started looking at all the, you know, so the self-help gurus and all of that type of thing. Was there what were the ones that really resonated? If somebody wanted to go out now and get a book, like who would you recommend that they should be
Oh,
reading
yeah.
or listening to, following?
Three books for sure. The first one being a spiritual book. It can be a Bible, it could be the Quran, be the Vedas, whatever ancient wisdom you can find your hands on, just go ahead and read that. And but I guess my challenge to you is like read it on a sort of like framework lenses where you're suddenly looking at the exact the stories but the meaning behind them. I'm not going to tell you what's right or wrong. Just like, for instance, I remember when I read the Bible, I got three principles for community management that I still use this day. It was like when I believe God told to Moses, like, if someone is sort of like misbehaving in your community, one, bring him to you and have a genuine conversation, just the two of you, right? If that doesn't work, bring two witnesses to testify that you had this conversation first and you're having a second time, and this person should change, right? And if that doesn't work, then the time you're going to do it in public. So every the third time you talk and all that stuff. And then if they don't change, you get to kick them out because this community, right? We have values. I've been that, and I was one of the best community managers for this program. I use that in every sort of like point of my community, in my masterminds, right? If it's not showing up, this is the exact process that I use. So you always find some sort of wisdom that you can apply it and twist it into your current day. So that's one book. The next one will be Outliers by Malcolm Gladwell. I believe that's
Gladwell,
his name.
Malcolm
So
Gladwell,
a great book. I love it because it shows you that everything is a system. And you can either choose to be a prey of it and be a victim, like it's the system's fault, or you can decide to change the system. And if that sounds scary, you can decide to play the system.
That's it.
Right?
Exactly,
We can all play the system. I remember one of my friends, she was like, she's doing a PhD in Australia now. And she was like, I win the scholarship because I'm not ashamed to say that I'm sub-Saharan African woman from a different country who doesn't have every resources available. And that will just open up the doors. And she's not ashamed of the label to sort of beat the system.
I
It's
like that.
why most people will qualify her, right? So if you stop seeing ourselves as victims and you'll be like, okay, well, how can I use this in my advantage? I mean, I use my smile all
And it's a great
the
smile.
time. All the time. Right? And I'm not ashamed of it. And the third book is going to be Good to Great by Jim.
Jim Collins,
That book, I mean, I created an entire program just based on the things that I've learned in that book.
Really?
It's all about the book is all about how you can not just achieve greatness, but sustaining in the long run. And he did extensive research around it, like, so really big companies to make sure that he got the nuggets. And I love it because it just makes sense, you know, putting people first, making sure that you find your sort of like triangle of perfection or hedge concept, as you call it, and using things to accelerate your momentum. Because we think that, oh, it's the technology, is, you know, the tools, the skills, the strategies. They don't create momentum, they accelerate. So yeah, that will be my three books. You should definitely read them out.
Excellent. Fantastic. So this is an amazing conversation. An extraordinary entrepreneur journey. Did tell us where people could find you now, if people want to reach out, follow up, where should they contact you?
Sure, like as a good millennial, I'm in social media. LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram. You can find me at Julio Mujorro. That's Julio Mujorro. Or you can find me via my company LinkedIn page, Sharing Knowledge International. And I would love to have a conversation with you all there.
Okay, thank you so much. Julio Maria Moro, as a power coach, you've just heard his amazing entrepreneurial journey. Thank you so much, Julio, for being on the show today.
Thanks very much for having me, Keith.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Julio Maria Mahoro, Power Coach, and I hope you learned a few tips and strategies from his entrepreneurial journey that you can apply to yours. Links to all the resources mentioned on the show can be found on the Ready Entrepreneur podcast resource page at readyentrepreneur.com. And if you want to follow up with Julio on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Instagram, you can always reach out to him, and I put all those links on the description page for this show. Remember, the number one decision to make if you're still a wantrepreneur is just to get started with your own business. Okay, that's it for this episode 107 of the Ready Entrepreneur podcast, an interview with Julio Maria Mahoro, Power Coach, about his entrepreneurial journey. If you enjoyed this information and found it useful, please make sure you're subscribed to the Ready Entrepreneur podcast so you do not miss future episodes. And please leave a rating and a comment at Apple Podcasts or wherever you like to listen to podcasts so I can see your feedback. And if you know someone who would benefit from the tips and strategies in the Ready Entrepreneur podcast, please share this podcast with another aspiring online entrepreneur. At readyentrepreneur.com, you'll find tons of helpful information for rising entrepreneurs, links to guides, books, courses, and so much more. And you can join the community of aspiring entrepreneurs just like you, who I keep up to date with tips, ideas, strategies, and other cool stuff. Visit readyentrepreneur.com. And if you want to reach out to me directly, email contactcase@readyentrepreneur.com or follow me on social media or reach out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, or Pinterest. Thank you so much for listening to the Ready Entrepreneur podcast with Case Lane.